is risen. Risen indeed. Hallelujah. This is the core of who we are as the people of God. It is the simple proclamation that Christ has been raised from the dead. This is at the heart of everything that we do or should be doing as God's people. But it's easy for us, and as we look at the history of the church, to forget that and to kind of get sidetracked when we start to think about that. And so today, as we reflect on this, we're going to think about what it means to be an Easter people and what Paul and Luke are up to when they reveal to us Christ's resurrection and what it means that we are also awaiting our own resurrection from the dead. So in Luke's gospel, we ended on Good Friday, whether or not you were able to be with us, we ended on Good Friday with Jesus Christ in the tomb and the disciples' hopes crashed. That as they stood and they looked at Jesus' body, they knew for sure that they were wrong and that Jesus was not the Messiah and that the promises of God that they were holding on to were once again in question. And then on Easter morning, because the disciples are dense and they didn't listen to Jesus when he warned them multiple times that he was going to die and be raised from the dead, on Easter morning they go to the tomb and they find it empty, and they start to figure it out and put it together. And Luke goes on to show us that the disciples not only get to figure out that Jesus has truly been raised from the dead, but that in Acts we see Luke continues the story where they're filled with his Holy Spirit and they're strengthened and equipped and they're sent out to the very ends of the earth to be about this Easter message. And as we look through the history of the church, we see the church doing some pretty amazing things in history to be about the message and love of God, bringing that hope to the world. But as we also look at the history of the church, sometimes we start to forget just what the resurrection is. Sometimes we misplace what it is to be an Easter people. Now, what I mean when I say that is that sometimes people will talk about the resurrection as if it's just a promissory note. Like, the idea that Jesus has been raised from the dead, awesome, that means that I'll go to heaven when I die. That the resurrection is only this, like, component in a fire insurance plan. Cool, Jesus is raised, I don't have to worry about it. And that suddenly the resurrection of the dead is just about me and the hope I have of going to heaven. And that is where it stops. That we start to talk about the resurrection as being saved from death and destruction. And that's where the message ends. And it's true. Don't get me wrong here. The resurrection of the dead and Christ's resurrection means that we too have hope. That this is not the end of our story. That those of us who are older and who are tired of being around, that we have a particular confidence. And there are those members in our church who are ready to be done. And you should have that confidence. And I do not mean to speak against that. Do not misunderstand. But if that's all we're about, if our only goal in going to church is to be comforted and to know that nothing matters because we're going to go to heaven when we die, we aren't Easter people. And we fundamentally misunderstood what Easter is about. You see, we're not just saved from something. What Paul helps us understand in his letter to the Corinthians is that we are saved for something. That to be an Easter people is to be about the work of God, because we know what the kingdom of God looks like, because we have glimpsed it in Christ's resurrection and we have hope for it in our own lives. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul goes on to talk about how Jesus Christ will destroy the last enemy, that is death. And then, and I do not know why this isn't in the readings for today, it's very befuddling what the lectionary people picked. Aside. But what it goes on to say is that, I tell you, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet,
But the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so what Paul helps us to see in that little section is that the resurrection is a hope that we have of something more. That the perishable bodies that we experience and the frailty we have, that the fact that a virus shut the world down for years, that that's not what the story looks like when Jesus comes again. But that's not the only focus that we have. You see, Paul writes this as the 15th chapter of his letter to the Corinthians. And if you read through that letter, it's not just a simple letter that says, Jesus was raised from the dead. Have a good day. Don't worry about it. Rather, it's a letter that's framed with this hope that Christ has died and been raised, and everything in the middle is, so live like it. Live not just as if you have been freed from something, but live as if you have been freed for a purpose. Live as if you are free to be about the same work that is in Christ Jesus. Even that message that we just read from Paul, which is talking about the perishable and imperishable, it ends with, know that your labor is not in vain, abounding in the work of the Lord. That because Christ has been raised from the dead, because we trust in the end of the story, this should make us risk takers. And not risk takers for ourselves, but risk takers for the sake of the kingdom of God. Risk takers for our neighbors and for those that we meet, that this is what it is to be an Easter people. Because we gather, trusting in the newness of life that awaits us. Because we know the desire that God has, because every page of Scripture is dripping with what Jesus is about, what God is about as he works toward a creation that is free from violence, where a lion will eat straw like an oxen, and a snake will eat dust instead of being a threat to us. That every page is pointing toward this renewed creation, and that we, the people of God, have experienced that, and so we bring that renewed creation with us everywhere that we go. This is what fills us with hope and drives us out into the neighborhood. Because if all we're doing here on a Sunday is feeling good about ourselves and knowing that we're going to heaven, we're doing it wrong. And we do not reflect the love that God has for us. And we're not doing that. Please don't. I'm not saying that we're doing that. How dare you? It's why I love our congregation, because we truly are about the work of God. And what this text helps us to do is to continue to push us to think about that work, to continue to look for the ways that we can be about that. And if you want to know what the work of God is, what the kingdom of God is, this is a great time to read through the gospel accounts once again. Read through Luke's gospel and see what Jesus does. Sometimes we get sidetracked and we think that all the work of God is just telling people that Jesus loves them. But what does Jesus' love look like when it's shown in the gospels? He doesn't walk into a room and see someone who's sick and go, hey, that's real tough on you, man, but you'll be with me in paradise. No, he heals them. What does he do when he sees someone who's suffering, when he sees someone who's been outcast by society? He doesn't just redeem them, but he challenges the system that's oppressing them. What's he do when he sees a widow who has lost her only son, who is now absolutely ostracized and absolutely without financial hope? He raises her son from the dead and redeems and restores that widow, that he cares for her. That this is the mission of the people of God as well. That when we read those things that Jesus does, when we see the parable of the Good Samaritan, we don't look at that and say, so glad that Jesus saved us. We look at it and we say, I am so glad that Jesus saved us. What can we do here and now to bring that same hope and love and that experience of grace into our lives? This is why we've been asking you to pray about the mission of First Lutheran and to be thinking about what it is that we do as God's people in this place to grow stronger together as a community, because it does need us, all of us, pulling and working together. And so keep praying for that. And that's why it's a wonderful thing if you're able to stay for coffee hours that are restarting. To stay for coffee hours so that we can connect, so that we can get to know each other and better learn how to do this work that we're doing together. And that we need to continue to think about what our mission is outside of our doors, thinking about what it is that we as a congregation are saved to do. What does this neighborhood need and how can we be at work there? Not trying to get people here, but rather us going out to show that love of God that calls us into the world and calls us to confront death and to confront the experiences of hardship that are going on out there. Yeah, I know we can't heal people miraculously. I mean, I can't. I don't know about you. I know that we can't do that. But we are still at work bringing healing. We are still at work bringing peace. We are still at work bringing that hope and promise of resurrection that has been made known in our lives. And that work will never be done. There will always be more to do until Christ comes again. That's what it means to proclaim that Christ is risen. It means that because Christ is risen, we too will rise. And until then, we have work to do. Amen.